When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, man, before we get rolling, speaking of rolling, let me tell you about Magnum PI. It's being rebooted for a new era. That's right. Why can't my kids enjoy some Magnum PI?
Yeah.
Why deprive them of a new Magnum PI? Series premieres Monday, September 24th, after the season premiere of Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon on CBS. Go to cbs.com/shows/Magnum PI or facebook.com/Magnum PI CBS for interviews, trailers, and clips. It does break my heart to see that Ferrari destroyed in the trailer. But other than that,
I was going to say, do you think they get rid of that Ferrari, then he pops into like a new California? And then also, what do they do with the helicopter? Does he get a new Bell Jet Ranger, or how does that work?
It's all being upgraded. Jay Hernandez has the Thomas Magnum swagger you loved, and Weeks is her last name. Perdita, I think, is her first name, is Higgins for the new generation. And it is Magnum PI, executive producer from Y5O and all that good stuff. So yep. Magnum PI, series premieres Monday, September 24th on CBS. All right, here we go. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea?
Yeah, thank you. I've been sitting here looking at car prices.
Why don't you...
Mystery Miura prices, because we like to gawk.
Yes. We're going to discuss many things in today's show. One of them will be the Leitzinger Z car.
Yeah.
People are curious about.
I posted a photo and people are like, tell me more.
Well, I will, or I'll tell you as much as I know. First, I'll tell you about Zybar CarCast, brought to you by Zybar. For better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperature, Zybar ultra thin, high temperature coating reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on. Take heat off. Learn more at zycoat.com. zycoat.com. All right. Let's see. The Leitzinger car. Yeah, we're talking about off the air. You took a picture. You sent it out there. I think the radiator showed up today.
Oh, yeah. I saw them working on it.
Big excitement.
Sean was in early this morning. He's test fitting it, put the hood on just in the height.
Yeah.
Jose's over there welding up the cross member.
I don't know that much about Leitzinger or Leitzinger. It's pronounced in a weird way. They raced. Well, you take a deep dive, Maxipata, into Leitzinger racing. I believe they started off with Datsuns, and they got into the Zs, and at some point, I think they graduated past that into GTP stuff or whatever stuff, Daytona stuff, or whatever it is.
How did this car come to be? Is this one of these ones that Les found? He's like, you should buy it because it's something, and you said, sure, or you were familiar with Leitzinger already?
I kind of knew Leitzinger. Again, it's a kind of a thing where, well, you think Bob Sharp when you think about Z cars, and then you think about BRE, and you should be thinking about Electromotive, which many people don't think about, but Electromotive sort of dominated in that world. And then right underneath that, there's like the second tier stuff, which is
like a Diefendorf?
Yeah, Diefendorf. Well, Diefendorf was Electromotive.
Okay.
Leitzinger wasn't. So the Diefendorf brothers were Electromotive. Electromotive is really interesting if you guys want to take a dive into the Z car world. And I think they started what Electromotive did is they started with like B210s and maybe got into 610s or 710s and then got into Zs and then got into crazy turbo Zs where they were like taking a straight six and slanting it on its side mm-hmm. and putting crazy electronics on it because I think they come from aircraft and aircraft electronics and engineering. So they start going crazy on their Zs. Then their Zs were really dominant, and then they went into GTP, and their GTP stuff was super dominant. But people don't really fully appreciate the Electromotive
yeah.
brand. But as this stuff wore on, or as this stuff wears on, the second tier stuff becomes valuable and interesting and has its own stories, too, like the different drummer 510
yeah.
that I have. And the Leitzinger car, or even in the past, the Fitzy car, Z car, things like that. Like, maybe not the top, you know, I guess if it was, you know, if you went sneakers, it'd go, well, it's not Nike, and it's not Reebok, and it's not Adidas, but there's still a couple other Pumas or New Balance or something, a couple others out there that are kind of interesting brands.
Yeah.
And K-Swiss. That's what the Leitzinger yeah. would be. So this Z car I got, I don't remember why. I just remember I like Z cars, and I like them in that trim with the flares, the 280ZX. The stuff that's coming into vogue now, the yeah. 280ZX with the flares and the valances and everything. And at some point, one came up for sale, and it was completely done. But it was completely painted and everything, but it was all bondoed in, like had tons and tons of bondo on it. And we realized that bondo was like 50 pounds of bondo on the body. And we just realized it wasn't done right. So we just ended up taking the whole thing apart and basically taking a finished looking painted car down to a very unfinished looking sort of vessel. Max Pato, do you find any Leitzinger stuff in there?
No, I haven't.
Bob, and is it Bob Leitzinger?
Yeah, it's Bob.
Yeah.
I think he's still around. I think
yeah,
I
he's
talked
still
to
around.
Him.
You just you can tell he's a car guy because the website is awful.
yeah,
it looks like it was made in 1990. It's pretty bad.
Hey, don't knock the 90s internet.
That's where Matt made his bones.
That's right.
So what is the Leitzinger thing? They're
a little light and loose on the information on the history and stuff with him because I looked it up the other day as well, and it was just like it wasn't like a ton of stuff up there.
There's another 280ZX out there that Jim Fralla built that's a Leitzinger car as well. That
right.
we see at the races.
See, Jim would probably know. It'd be nice if our buddy Steve Yeager from Nissan was around because I feel like he's a encyclopedia of that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even Pete Brock probably raced against him.
Well, there's got to be something in sports car racing or sportscarracers.com or racingsportscars.com, which is another horrible website.
That's terrible.
That has all the information, but it's terrible. I've even made donations to them before. Like, I'm like, I get so much information from you guys.
Do they allow you to add a note with your $20? Your
please
note would be,
get
please
your shit together.
Fix all
how
of this
dare
nonsense.
You. It was $100. $20. Yeah.
That was the biggest donation they ever got was your $100, I'm sure.
I
love this website, but it's...
Well, you don't love the website. You love the information.
I love the information.
It's the only place...
I don't know where to start. As soon as I go to the website, I don't know where to start.
Right. And if you try to hit manufacturer or driver, whatever, you get one letter in and then you don't get to finish the name.
Yeah.
It just gives you 1,000 other names that start with a P and then you're done. Or if you want to type in Datsun, you get to put D in and then every other car that Daimler Benz comes up there and you yeah. can't finish. Why won't they just let you type in what you want to type in?
I have no idea. I'm scrolling through the list of drivers with an L.
Yeah, you can't type in Lightsinger. You can only put L and then every single other driver that, and you, by the way, worldwide, yeah. You'd be surprised how many drivers have a last name that start with an L.
The whole time you're talking, I'm still at LA.
It's literally thousands of guys whose last names start with L throughout driving history.
At the bottom, it just said more. I scrolled all through that to get to the more button.
Max Pata, I want you to fix their website. All right. What do you got, Max Pata?
On Lightsinger?
Yes.
I didn't know.
I didn't know if you're moving on. I really have nothing. Like it, there's nothing on the company. I'll show you the website.
No, I don't want to see the website.
Bob Lightsinger.
I emailed Bob.
Just
and
just
asked
now?
If he wanted to call. Yeah, I emailed him already and asked if he wanted to call.
Yeah, you want to call just, and explain?
Well, thank you. But you got to go to racingsportscars.com okay. or whatever. Then you
Bob
can look Lightsinger, up the
Lightsinger. What I found was some of his spec sheets here. You know, from this website, from 64 to 67, did some racing. Then in 76, and then 79 to 94, 158 events. Let's see. We've got 2 wins, 4 second place finishes, 5 third place finishes.
All right, Mattel. Sorry.
Yeah.
Max Paddle will look it up. We'll find out. But
and then it kind of stops.
He was
like a picture of a car, and then that's it.
He was with Z's, and then he graduated into bigger stuff, I think, at some point, as I recall.
240s, 280s, 300s, and it says an Elan, and then Firebird, and then a 280 again. So different types of cars, but
so there's not a lot of his stuff floating around out there, but
mostly it's a cool car.
Mostly it's a cool car. It's got a good scheme. It's white and kind of royal blue, and it says Lightsinger on it, and it's out there, and we're working on it, and it's in house, and we're just chipping away. We have the 280ZX. It's a naturally aspirated car. We have the other Newman GT1 championship car, which we're plodding away on and making some progress.
Yeah.
That's basically the 1986 year that Newman won in that car. And that's up on the dolly. And we're sort of chipping away at that simultaneously. And we're just, we're chipping away.
Yeah.
We have events coming up, Ren Sports coming up. We're excited about that. I'm excited to see all of the cars. I think Rob looked it up. I think there's going to be about 250 cars there plus, but the elite of the elite, you
yeah.
know. The thing about Porsche, you know, when you do the Monterey Historics or other events, but the Monterey Historics, they'll go, all right, there's 550 cars. And you go, that's cool. But I might only be interested in about 150 of the 550. Now, I'm not saying the other ones, you know, there's the chitty, chitty, bang, bang sort of class
yeah,
that we're
yeah.
not that interested in. There's a couple of pre-war classes that we're just not that interested in. To be fair-minded, there's some modern stuff out there that we're not that
right.
interested in, late 90s, early 2000s stuff. Like, all right, that's newer. I appreciate it, but we're not that interested. We have a sort of a sweet spot we're interested in. And you know, some of the stuff from the 50s is cool, but it's not really our bag either. So you can kind of take 550 cars and you can just back out about half of them.
Yeah.
And we're just not that interested. And they're just kind of taking up space for us walking from place to place because we're walking past the chitty chitty bang bang section
yeah, yeah.
to get to the cool section for us. So it strikes me that Rennsport, you know, and all Porsche, not really going to have anything before the 50s that I can think of. I mean,
what year were their tractors? Because they are racing the tractors.
They are racing tractors.
They
okay,
racing the
minus
tractors.
The
yeah.
tractors. I don't think they're going to have anything pre,
yeah.
you know, 1950. It's all going to be mid-50s with the 550 Spiders and
yeah.
that kind of stuff. And then once we get past that, we're into our 911s, our turbos. And
walk around and feel like, just sort of realize what a noob I am is when it comes to Porsches, because everyone there will know every little detail about every one of those. But it'll be interesting to go to for sure. And, to get your 935 out there and run it around. So that'll be good.
And there are going to be some outstanding cars there. I mean, there just has to be.
I talked to Bruce Kenapa like a few times, and he's been telling me about everything he's been curating for there and the classes that are running and what he's got on display, and because he's kind of spearheading putting on the event. I'm not sure exactly what his title is in this, but it kind of feels like his event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it should be good. It should be interesting. And speaking of cool cars that we like, our episode 3 of our Motor Trend video is up of our Adam Carolla Goes Racing. Although mm-hmm. in episode 3, we don't go racing.
Right.
We toured the Bonhams auction and made kind of a fun video of us checking out a few cars. I think we check out Aston Martin DB6, Mercedes 190, and I want to say a 575 Ferrari.
Mm-hmm. That could be a right? 550. I can't recall.
I think it's a 575. Anyway, so we're going to go walk around, check them out, chat a little bit about them, and then just take a guess. Take a guess. It's a little like, what was the show? What's my car worth? What's my car? Kind of like that.
It's a lot like that.
But
it's almost exactly like that.
Except we just literally just walked in and shoot the shit and take a guess.
Yeah, we do take a guess. These are all honest guesses. And you'll know they're honest guesses by how far off we often
some,
are.
Some of them are going to be wildly wrong.
No way when it would be Cook, where I'm like, no sale at $150. And it's like, sets a new record at over $200,000. Yeah. So you know.
Some of them.
I'm not getting any inside baseball information before I make that guess.
No, this was fun to do. Not a lot of prep.
Not a lot of prep,
but I thought it was fun to do. We're going to do another episode of this for next week, and we've been talking about, like, why can't we turn this into some sort of TV show or put this out there in longer form? I think we'd like to do that.
So. I'd watch me.
Would you?
I don't know about you.
Yeah. You mean would I watch you?
No, I mean, I don't. Yeah, no, okay. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
All right, Max Pata, what do you got? Deep dive into
it is a deep dive. I mean, because his son Butch is actually the one that's taking all of his Google SEO.
Oh, that's right. Butch is
Butch is a lot more prominent on the internet. Deep dive. Bob Leitzinger, 79, 2 wins, most frequent makes. He Nissan 240SX. He drove the most, a 280ZX next, a 300ZX.
So I guess I have one of his maybe 2 or 3. Obviously, there's another one. We've seen it at the track. Maybe
so we don't know much history of the car. We have to kind of link up, when did he run the 280, and then what's the history of the car? I'd say click on 280 on that website, but you can't.
No.
So now you have to go through another direction. You have to find 280.
It is the longest. But there are no other websites that have this information.
No,
so you have to
And a lot of the information is there once you find it. But you can't click on Bob's name, click on the 280 that he drove and get the history of that car. You need to start all over again.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's it cost to build a website like that? I mean, you've seen the website. You were in the business.
It's a lot of data, and it's just, these days there's probably a lot of different tools to make that a little bit easier. I'm not sure when this started out there, but I think it could be done.
All right. Well, we're just the guys to not do it.
Yeah.
So you can go to motortrend.com.
Go to motortrend.com/Adam. You can see stuff up there. Also, we got a little promotion going on if you guys want to subscribe to Motor Trend. I think if you go to motortrend.com/redeem and type in promo code Adam, you get 30 days of Motor Trend on demand for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you can go to Channel 501 on Pluto TV and check out our streaming channel at Chassis there. Lots of good stuff up as well, showing the movies and all that good stuff. And there's a lot of good, if you're into the gears, there's a lot of good stuff on Pluto. I mean, you know, the Indian Wrecking Crew and the 12 O'Clock Boys and all that kind of stuff. And one narrated by Jay Leno. There's a lot of really good looking stuff up there if you're listening to us, you're into cars pretty heavily.
You can get that app. I think you can get that app on your mobile device, like your iPad or your phone. If you just want the Pluto app to watch that stuff, you can do it.
All right, what do you got for Wrangler?
Wrangler,
Yeah.
Everyone's got a favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great. And no one knows this better than Wrangler. Wrangler jeans, they're made for the modern-day adventurers. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, these are the jeans for you. They have classic and modern styles and a range of fits and a price that works for you as well. Plus, they have vintage re-releases. If you visit Wrangler.com, you can check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for both men and women. They have new styles. They have great fits. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
All right. Let's see. Got some emails up there, Max Pata.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to write to the show, email carcastshow@gmail.com. And we'll answer them on the air. This comes from Jeff. He's from Virginia. He says, "Hey, guys, love the show. Any updates on the SEMA Z build with that rare Nissan power plant? I haven't heard much else about it. I know you're super busy and some projects have to wait. I was just really excited to hear about this one."
Okay, so here's where we're at as of when we're recording this in terms of the builds and the things that we're doing. We have the 935 Porsche, not taken apart, but somewhat taken apart. There's some suspension stuff, some caster and camber stuff. There are some isolators, as Sean would call them. The rear half shafts go through this big rubber donut, like the size of three bagels. it comes around. It's about 7 inches around, and it's a big rubber isolator, I'd call it, that would go, or Sean calls it, that goes between the transmission and the half shafts into the hubs, and the bolts go all the way through it, and it just basically creates a joint there. Anyway, the existing ones were kind of cracked a little bit. Yeah. Sean was worried about them, so we found some, and now that's why those half shafts are out. They're really cool looking, I don't know, titanium, whatever.
Yeah, the half shafts. We're trying to track down some U-joints, some new U-joints for it as well.
Are we?
Yeah.
Oh, Sean doesn't like the look of the other one. So
yeah. He said they were used?
Yeah. So that car's getting prepped to go to Rennsport. The Lightsinger Z is being worked on. The 86 Nissan GT1 car is in about the same shape, maybe a little further along. There is a BRE 510 that's an authentic BRE 510 in yellow and white. You guys can find pictures of it. Privateer car that is in some position to get, you know, it's in primer, let's just say, and needs everything put on it.
Yeah.
And seems kind of ready to go, but that's a process that's going to take a little while. So there are three cars that are basically in various states of disrepair that are already on kind of the gimbal,
yeah,
ready to go.
Sort of in the queue ahead of a SEMA build.
Yeah, the SEMA build Z car I am excited about. It is sort of out there. I am pumped about that crazy twin turbo engine going on there with the big bespoke intake and plenum and just the whole thing, the crazy engine from the past, which I believe will make it the coolest Z build ever. And Sean's into it and I'm into it and everyone's into it, but it's just, there's so much going on and there's things ahead of it in the queue, as you said, that I couldn't see us starting for at least a year.
Yeah.
The other cars, the problem, not the problem, but the part of it from a sort of business standpoint is the other cars have a value. The other cars you can justify, rationalize, or whatever, $100 an hour going out the window with a couple guys going at it, because you can say to yourself, when they're done, the car will be worth more than whatever I spent to get it into this state.
Yeah.
The Z car, and nothing's getting sold, so it's sort of academic, just in my mind. I don't have any problems with guys working on stuff that I'm going to pay him a quarter and I'm going to get a dollar back from that quarter I pay him. Not that they're not getting a quarter. They're getting plenty of money, but the car will be worth plenty of money when they're done. And I can kind of justify that as sort of a business model. But what I can't do is just these sort of wholesale builds. Like, I just feel like that's kind of me indulging myself. It doesn't feel like much of a plan.
It's an exciting idea, the SEMA bill, it is that. It's kind of like, it's the everything I want it to be Z car one day. But, you know, it allows you to be much more creative on it, because all the cars you're talking about now, these race cars, they're sort of, how was it back in the day? Let's build it back to the way, you know, Pete Brock did it, or the way, you know, Bob Sharp did it, or Leitzinger did it. And you're building it back based off of the research. The SEMA car is fun because you can say, I'm doing whatever I want. And now you can use all your own ideas. It's just, it's a little bit tougher to get to that point, you know, financially in your head to justify that kind of build. But it would be fun to do.
And I think that car would definitely be worth something when you're done. But how could you ever sell that car with that super engine in it? But it'd be awesome. I don't know. Maybe we can find some sponsorship or something. I don't know. Someone who wants to get involved with that. It's a killer idea because it's a 280ZX, which I love the platform of. Most people don't do those. It's obviously a little boxier than the Z, the 240Z. But with that engine in it, just unbelievable.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
And the great part is always the story. People are going to think you put a small block Chevy in there, and they're going to have no idea that it's a small block Nissan that's in there that was also part of it. And it's not from a modern truck. It's from the original.
It's
car.
Super rare. I mean, even pulling that engine apart and rebuilding it and figuring out what's going on the inside and building it back up. And the you know, the manifold that you talked about, that intake manifold where the turbos go up to, it's very, very tall. We'd have to probably fab up some sort of dry sump system and lower that engine down. But obviously not too low, or the transmission's got to line up. Like, it's going to be a chore.
The original car has a dry sump system on it, as I do recall. So that would be one of those things where you would want to run a dry sump system, because that's how that engine was originally built.
Maybe we can push it back more into the firewall and do sort of a center front mid kind of thing with it.
Yeah, the original actually. If you look at the original, I keep saying the original. On the race car, which we have, it is pushed back pretty far.
Yeah, that's an interesting car because it's basically a tube frame car. So they put the dash wherever you want it. They start with the chassis and the engine, right? You put the engine where it needs to be weight wise as best you can, and then you kind of build around it. It'll be interesting to do and still make the interior look.
What paint scheme would you do on it? Would you do it like the original car, like the Bob?
I don't know. I mean,
Sharp, not Leitzinger.
Well, one of the big questions would be: is do you want it to look like a street car, or do you want it to look like a racing car? Do you go with, like we talked about, maybe doing like the Singer of Datsuns or Nissans, right?
Yeah.
So do you go with a nicer kind of? Interior.
Here's what I think. I think all of the stuff that's racing inspired looks better than the street version all the time, every time. But the question is what era are you going for? So like on the outside of the car, you might want to have center locks rather than lug nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a racing thing, but it's a good looking thing.
Yeah.
On the inside, when you take a look at like Singer stuff or some other stuff, you go, well, this is a little more civilized. It's not sheet metal everywhere and a roll cage and no passenger seat, but it is reminiscent of the race cars from the 50s and the 60s. You know, when you put your head inside, Nick Mason's GTO, it's got a dashboard. It's got a seat. I think it has a passenger seat. I can't recall, but many of those cars did have a passenger seat. You know, it's got a spare tire. Like it feels, you could drive it to the track and then go race and then go drive it home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it doesn't have a headliner, although it might have a headliner. Like, it's kind of, if you go Porsche, you go Ferrari, you go whatever, as you cross from the 50s into the 60s into the early 70s, a lot of those cars did look like kind of street cars. Yeah. You know, a lot of those cars, like Porsche, American cars, you know, you go look at a racing Corvette, it's got a Corvette steering wheel on it, like the factory.
Yeah, and there is sort of this hybrid middle ground between, you know, the Mercedes interior versus the racing car interior, you know. You pop your head into, you know, a Bodie Stroud car, Ring Brothers car, and you'll see, you know, nice good leather seats with a roll cage, you know, and a dash. You know, it'd be interesting. We'd have to really like put it out there and sketch it up and come up with some ideas for it.
All right, let me tell you about Evans Coolant. Ah, the water in your coolant rusts, corrodes metal, has a low boiling point, builds pressure inside your cooling system, causing boiling over and burst hoses. Man, why would you do this? Like, now that we have full synthetic, why go mixed?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why not just go with full synthetic? Or we always talk about your rear end, your transmission, your crankcase, all the braking systems, hydraulic systems, clutch. There's no water mixed in with any of that. Yeah. Why are we mixing the water in with the radiator?
Trying to get the water out.
Get the water out, man. On the racetrack, you do not use any water in there. Evans Waterless Coolant developed the only waterless coolant on the market, and it is the best. Learn more at their site, evanscoolant.com/fightback. That's the evanscoolant.com/fightback to fight back against the water in your coolant. It's Evans Coolant. And Mike Torville is on line two. He's from Evans. We'll talk to him. Mike, am I saying Torville correctly?
That's correct. Yes, I'm here. Yep.
Good to speak to you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Suffield, Connecticut.
Is that the home of Evans Coolant?
It is the home of Evans Coolant, although it's manufactured in Pennsylvania. We have a blender out there in Pottstown and a blender in Stroudsburg and a warehouse in Pottstown, about 5 hours away from here.
It's funny, we all grew up sort of dumping water into our radiator and then dumping, you know, antifreeze into the radiator and then mixing the water with the radiator and then sometimes just forgetting about it, just taking the hose and putting it in the radiator.
Right.
But as I just went through the rear end, the transmission, now even shocks with oil in them and braking and every other system in the car, there is no water involved. What took so long? And how long is or maybe it didn't. How long has Evans been around?
Well, we've been really marketing this coolant strongly for the past 10 years, since 2009, although it's been around for a while. It had a cult following because it was used in racing. It wasn't promoted much. Jack Evans and Tom Light it's a small company, and didn't really promote it very much up until around 2009. So now we looked at a heavy duty market for a while because, you know, a lot of the trucks and heavy equipment could use the waterless coolant. But I think we've sort of found our niche here with hot rods, muscle cars, classic cars, whether it's for preservation purposes or performance. It works really well, and it really goes beyond the capabilities of water-based coolants in a lot of different ways.
Tell us about that. Like, what's the advantage of Evans waterless coolant?
Well, you know, you talked about water and water not being used in some of these other fluids, but if you think about it, the coolant's job is to transfer heat, right, away from the metal, keep the metal temperatures under control. But and nothing's better than that than water. That's why it's been used for so long. But water has its drawbacks, right? I mean, water, as you mentioned, it causes corrosion, electrolysis, and you're always fighting against those things. Whether it's additives, changing out the coolant periodically to make sure that your cooling components, your radiator isn't rusting out and pitting and degrading over time. But I think the bigger difference is with Evans is its high boiling point. Without the water, the boiling point of Evans is 375 degrees. That's much higher than the boiling point of water at 212. So you think, okay, well, water's good. Water's the best heat transfer liquid you can get as long as it remains a liquid. Once it stops being a liquid, turns to vapor, all bets are off. I mean, vapor doesn't transfer heat very well, you know?
Right. Whereas
with Evans, because it remains a liquid well past that point, I mean, past the failure point of water or water-based coolant, it stays liquid. You always have liquid-to-metal contact. You don't have vapor pockets forming. You don't build pressure. And so you always have heat transfer capability.
So it's always doing its job.
Yeah.
Even
when the engine
is heating up, you're
correct.
Sitting in traffic in your vintage car and it's heating up, at least you know it's still doing its job.
Well, anyone who's pulled a water pump off and taken a look at it after you pull it off and you see the inside of it and it just looks like it was at the bottom of a lake for a long period of time, I imagine most of that is by the water in the system and not the coolant in the system. But I'm not an expert in this field, but if I ran Evans and then pulled the pump off after 5 years and looked at it, I imagine I wouldn't see all the corrosive stuff in there. Yes?
You're right. You wouldn't. Unless, you know, what happens over time is, you know, with any coolant, especially Evans, you know, it's in there and it begins to scrub out some of that old scale and metal deposits that build up. So you may have a little bit of that in there. Because with water, you have those scale deposits and metal that degrades over time. And you have, you know, if you don't change your coolant out over, you know, periodically, too, that'll happen. But you're right. With Evans, if you put Evans in there and years later you opened up and looked at the water pump or the radiator, you aren't going that the thermostat, you know, where you often see that corrosive effect
right.
over time, it won't look like that. It'll look like the day you put it in. That's why a lot of museums and collectors use Evans.
Is there anything you can't put it in? Like, is there any motorcycles or diesel trucks other than, let's say, a Jay Leno steam engine car?
Hold on, I got a 935, so I'm going to cross myself off that list.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Jay because he's got it in several of his cars, and you know he's had it in his Duesenbergs and some Bugattis for almost 20 years now, and that coolant looks like it did the day it was put in. But to answer your question, is there any vehicles that you don't want to put it in? Well, some of the modern vehicles are difficult because they're complex. You know, it's difficult to drain out the old coolant and put it in. So sometimes the installation's tough. And if you have narrow passageways or a double or triple pass radiator, it's restrictive in terms of flow. And so you may find that the coolant will do its job. It'll just get a little warmer, you know. So, because if the coolant's held longer in the engine, it'll just pick up that much more heat.
We expect to see maybe a little bit higher temperatures on your gauge when you run this?
Mm-hmm. You know, most times Evans will run at the same temperature, but probably 25, 30% of the time we hear people back saying, hey, it's running a little warmer. It's running 10, 15 degrees warmer. And yeah, so you may see that, but I think to the earlier point, when it continues to do its job, it's acting like a sponge. It's pulling that heat out, absorbing the heat. Where the coolant temperature may be warmer, the metal temperature will be lower and more under control.
Is this a fair statement? And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when it comes to full synthetic motor oils, you know, you pay a little extra, but you don't change them. Your oil is often, it's better for your engine, and then you don't have the cost of every 3,000 miles or 5,000 miles. You can go quite a bit further than that. Does that sort of apply to this waterless Evans coolant system? Is it a fair statement or analogy to make or comparison to make?
It's a good analogy, actually. It's the same idea. You're right, because Evans will last. I mean, it could last the life of your engine. I mentioned Jay's had it in his cars for 20 years without changing it. If a car is sitting for a long time and it's not subjected to, you know, contaminants and other coolant perhaps being added in mistakenly or somebody topping off with water, it will last a very long time. You will change it less often without those corrosive effects. So same idea as a synthetic oil. The duration, its life will just be extended that much longer.
How does it go in terms of racing applications? We do a little bit of racing, and, you know, they don't obviously let you run coolant traditional coolant out there, because if something goes wrong, everyone's going to be sliding around the track all over the place. So they must have some sort of certification or something of like what you can run and what you can't run. How does that work?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we're asked that all the time. Evans is a glycol-based, you know, coolant, and it is just as slippery, so it's just as hard to clean up. It's no easier to clean up, or no more difficult than water-based coolant. But the NHRA, since last July of 17, has now approved it for use on the tracks. And you might say, well, wait a second, if it's just as slippery and just as difficult to clean up, why would Evans be allowed to be used on those NHRA tracks? The difference is the pressure. And if you think about it, Evans running at maybe 2, maybe 4 pounds of pressure at the most, even under those extreme conditions. And those 4 pounds of pressure will mean a couple things. No vapor buildup, no pressure. The likelihood of Evans getting on the track is lowered by so much. And if he did bust a hose and you got coolant on track, it's going to be a little drip, not a high-pressure, high-volume spray. So the amount of coolant may be a small 2-inch puddle versus a big explosion of coolant. So the risk has been mitigated by so much, the NHRA decided to make an exception and allow Evans for use in NHRA tracks.
That's a very satisfying answer.
Yeah.
I love a satisfying answer.
So now it makes me wonder, do I have to, if I'm building my muscle car or something, or your race car, do you change the cap? Do you change the pressure of your radiator cap?
There's no real need to do that. I mean, most people around is running a 16-pound cap. We'd say, hey, you could go as low as a 7-pound cap, you know, without any issues, and you probably won't notice any difference, because the cap is reactive to the pressure generated, and if you're only going to generate 4 or 5 pounds of pressure, the 16-pound cap is fine. Some people say, well, why don't I go to a 4-pound cap? Well, leave a little margin there, you know. You have a 7-pound cap is fine, because if you did generate up to 4 pounds, you may generate enough vapor to lose coolant. Unlikely, but 7-pound cap, but no real need to make that change.
So you're a Duesenberg guy. You must appreciate Leno's. You can probably see his one that got rescued from that garage just sort of up the street, literally.
Yeah.
House, you know, if you ever see that, it wasn't Jay Leno's garage back then. I just think it was, some MSNBC or some show, you know, captured it, the History Channel or something. You ever see that one, Matt?
Oh, I think it was on Rides.
Was it on Rides? It was funny because I always used to run into Jay at the automotive bookstore that was in Burbank. And he used to hang out there.
You guys are nerds.
And I'd come by there. I'd pick him a book on P-51. Yeah. It's called Death from the Sky. And he'd show me his Duesenberg book. It was before the internet. He'd be sitting around there. It was a group for a hardcore dude.
Yeah.
Now, little did we know, this Duesenberg was sitting in this garage with, because of earthquake damage, the garage door had been jammed for years. And it was literally up the street. Like, while Jay, the world's greatest Duesenberg lover, second to Mike, but with a checking account.
With a budget.
Like Mike with money. And he was standing in that bookstore every weekend, not knowing that, I mean, literally down the street in a super unpredictable, I mean, a house that would never have a Duesenberg, like, you know, 1,200 square foot stucco box in the valley where I grew up. And there it is, just up the street, like 200 feet away, there's a Duesenberg sitting in the garage. Somehow Jay gets wind of it and goes there and pries the thing open and left it, you know, rebuilt the motor and everything and put the Evans coolant in it, but never painted it or restored the chrome or any of that. And I imagine that's one of the rigs that possesses the Evans coolant as we speak, yes?
Yeah, and he's got it in the, I think it's a 1931. And of course, he's got the green one and the blue one. And if you've seen those right there in a row. And, you know, it's funny. We check the coolant in there every year or two when I go down there for some reason or another. And the coolant looks like it's, you know, say it's put in. But those cars are just so beautiful. They're just such a work of art, you know. And I know Jay's even said before that sometimes they would take the body off of those Duesenbergs because people didn't like them back then. They were kind of boxy. But looking back, they're just, I think they're just a work of art.
I like, Mike, I like his reason for going to Jay's garage every year. I got to swing by and check the coolant in your Duesenberg. And you're like, it lasts 20 years. You're going to go there and be like, we just heard on CarCast, you said it lasts 20 years. He's like, what are you coming over here for?
I got to check the sodas in his cooler. That's why I go there. It's not
right.
The coolant.
Yeah.
He's got the big old cooler right by the rolling door. Yeah, that's the Model X in the garage for 50 years. My problem with when I watch these shows, and Max Pat, I don't know if you can figure out where that house was in relationship to like Burbank and that bookstore, which like Burbank and Magnolia, but it was literally down the street. My bigger problem with all those shows, like first I'm delighted. Like then I see the adult daughter who goes, I've lived in this house for 49 years. I had no idea that my dad had a Duesenberg in the garage. And I'm like, I guess you guys were pretty close, huh? You go to a lot of Dodger games? Like, I always want to just delve into their relationship and what went wrong.
Right. Why you never thought to go in the garage.
Not Jay. Jay's like, yeah, good for you. Now we're going to pull the car out.
Yeah, stop talking. Let's go.
Just a few miles from NBC Studios.
A few miles from NBC Studios, yeah. Right. But the bookstore's a few miles from NBC Studios, too. So it's right there. And Jay, like, literally drove past that thing. You know what makes me want to do? Makes me want to kick in every door and yell, what's in the garage?
What's in the garage?
You got a mirror in there?
Who lives here?
Show it to me.
And well, you can start with, how close are you to your parents? You can start with
that
question.
Close. So my dad, wait a minute, I got to get to my dad's house. He's right. Got a Honda CR-V from 1987 in there. Yeah, with a cloth interior. Evans Coolant is the name. The website, evanscoolant.com, is where you go, and you can find out all about it there. We love the product, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a part of the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. And yeah, interesting. I never really thought about that, but if you got the Duesenberg and you're going to be parking it for 20 years, you can't just have a bunch of tap water sitting in that radiator, can you? And in the block and beyond?
No. You want the good stuff.
So this guy wouldn't tell Leno what was in the garage. Leno just knew something was in it. He'd even like take him around, you know, for rides in a Stanley steamer and everything, trying to, you know, win him over. Still wouldn't do it until he moved away to a retirement home. And then he finally was like, all right, you can see it's in the garage. And his daughter showed Leno. She hasn't even been in the garage for 50 years. She always just knew an old car was in it.
That's what I'm saying about the relationship. What kind of back and forth do you have with your dad when he's got a priceless Duesenberg?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this house, you know those broken down valley houses, like with the swamp cooler and the bad stucco and 1,200 square foot and the dead lawn? That's the house. I mean, literally, you're living in a house, and the car that's in the garage is worth more than the house you're living in, and the old man's not sharing the good news?
Yeah. There are newspapers stacked up in there saying, World War II's over.
That's right.
Or will be soon. It will be over
that's
soon.
That's right.
You think Jay kind of like Fast and Furious 1, like on the roof of the garage to sneak in to find like the Hondas with the missing engines? Like, how did he know something was in there? Like in the middle of the night, he put on his black denim, and then he kind of went up on the roof and stuck
just dropped down. 13 ever built, only four exist now.
Let's see if we can find out what that car may be worth. Because that is, I don't know that car culture. I mean, you could tell me, my car's worth $1 million. I'd go, okay. And you could go, that car's worth $15 million. I'd go, okay. I would imagine it's closer to 15 than it is to 1. I'm going to go ahead and remove 1 from my estimate. But you could tell me it was, you know, between 4 and 6, and I'd go, oh, okay. But 4 left on the planet?
Yeah.
That's a doozy. Let me tell you about Zybar. Revolutionary new product. Our CarCast team is excited about these guys over at Zybar. Ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, tips. 0.001 inch thickness reduces radiant heat by 90%. The first DIY thermal control coating of its kind. Nobody else is come up with this product before this time. Non-corrosive, doesn't break down, even in 2,000-degree environments. Makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coatings obsolete. Well, that's good. I don't like seeing the stuff wrapped in that weird fire hose stuff. It bothers me a little bit. Comes with four. Comes in four awesome colors: bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray. They'll make your engine a showpiece. So let's get going. Available for purchase at Zycoat, ZYCoat.com, and many auto parts retail locations as well. Put Zybar on. Take heat off. All right.
Adam, I have to ask, because right before you hit that spot, you said, only 13 ever built. That's a doozy, which is what that comes from. Doozy is a Duesenberg, like the phrase. So I don't know if you did that on purpose or not.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm not you.
I don't know. I just want to make sure. I can't find any value for
this
car.
How often do you hear me say that's a doozy?
I guess you're right. I don't know. You didn't make a face. So I wondered if you knew.
If I stopped and marveled at all my majesty, I'd never be able to leave the house in the morning. I'd just be standing in front of a full-length mirror, nude, marveling.
You should try it,
I'd never stop marveling.
You might have a good time.
But I'd be so wrapped up in marveling that I couldn't get on with hugging my kids and living my life. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
It's a sacrifice you have to
I
make.
Don't have time to stop and marvel.
It's a burden.
I should.
You should.
It's a burden,
I'll do all
thank
the
God, only you have to bear.
Yeah.
No, I just said it's a doozy. It's a throwaway to the Duesenberg thing.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about Castrol Edge. Mm. Heat, friction, and viscosity break down and rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge is engineered with fluid titanium technology. It physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. This helps fight friction and delivers maximum levels of performance from your car. It's 3 times stronger against viscosity than leading oils. 3 times. 3X. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine.
All right, so what are you driven? What's coming up for you?
That's a good question.
You made me have a dream last night that I was driving a Pantera and it overheated.
Not if it had Evan's waterless coolant.
And the other dream you made me have last night, although I don't know why I blame you for this one, but I do. I was like in another part of the country and somebody made me for some biker build-off show or something, like some custom hog, like that Orange County Choppers or something, the big gas tank and the bars pulled back. And I was thinking of those, what we call those, we just had Tom Berenger talking about, not the shelf, the hog, the dressers. It was a dresser.
Mm, yeah.
It's a full dresser, like hog with the side bags and the things and the stuff and everything. But it's like custom dresser. And it's like, oh, we built you a custom dresser, like full dresser, custom, you know, whatever. And I was like having to drive it home from like the East Coast or something. And I found myself having to like traverse through things and like at some point go down a couple of stairs and stuff like that. And like pieces were breaking off and it was getting stuck everywhere. And I was having to like trying to pull it. And I was like, God damn it. I just want a BMW, you know, all terrain, whatever, enduro, whatever they call them now, just something from Germany, something that looks stupid but works really good.
Yeah.
And I got this stupid big dresser. And I remember like, it's my life in a nutshell. It's like thinking like, I don't want all this shit. I don't want this big, bulky, stupid thing. I don't want people looking at me. I just want something I can get down the road in and something's going to work.
Why are you driving down steps? You had like a Born Identity thing? It's like a Born Identity crisis in the middle of your hog driving.
I was like
dream.
Stopped in New Mexico or something. And we were like, at some point, like, come up here and eat tacos or something. Like we went up and then I was like, how do I get back down to the road? And they're like, go down there and then through there. Next thing I was like kind of going down a path.
Yeah.
I was probably thinking about Mike August when he stole the wheelbarrow from the marina and he was pushing all our stuff across the bridge. And then we were like, oh, we got to go down the steps to get off the bridge onto the cruise ship or whatever. And I was like, oh, now I got to get the hog down these steps. And I was like, and like it was getting scratched up and like pieces were busting off. And I was like, so pissed off. And I was just like, next time, just give me a BMW 1000.
If we build you a custom bike, you got to put a Datsun engine in it. You got to do a Datsun version of the Boss Hoss V8 bike, you know, the big...
Yes. Yeah, there's a there's like a 428 Cobra jet in like a three wheeler that was like, you know, back when everyone had one crazy guy in a custom van.
Yeah.
One crazy guy who turned his VW Bug into a steak bed pickup truck. And then one crazy guy that had the three-wheeler with the crazy, like, 428 Cobra jet or something in it. Like, there's always the couple crazy neighborhood guys. You're like, oh, that guy's nuts. Look at him.
V8 motorcycle.
Right. So I was having that dream. And all those hogs, like the crazy ape hanger bars and stuff like that, they're the opposite of everything I'm about. Like, I just think, what a pain in the ass. Who'd ever want to drive that thing? There's no suspension in it. You know, like,
that reminds me. We got to get Lorenzo Lamas back in here.
That's true.
The Renegade.
Well, if we can get him to... He's still traveling the Badlands.
There's a picture of Mike August with his wheelbarrow.
He stole a cart from the marina.
I love that story. Alan told me that story, and I was like, yep, that's perfect. That's total Mike.
He stole it. And a guy yelled at him, that's not for you. And he's like, no, it is.
We'll bring it back.
Yeah. I feel you.
Mike dealing with angered strangers is my favorite thing.
Oh, man.
Well, he doesn't, you know, most people have an end game fear, which is physically fighting the person in the street, right? So if your end game fear is this thing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the end game fear is being audited by the IRS. So you make moves before that where you're like, well, I think I'm going to write my kids' room off as a work office, a homework office or something. Yeah. You make little moves, but the end game is being audited and nobody wants to be audited. So you have to stop along the way and make these decisions. Like, I think I could claim this as a work office. I don't think there's any, but I'm not going to write off our vacation to Hawaii because then I'm going to get audited. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because me and my kids, it's not a work vacation. All right, fine. Mike has no fear of being audited, which is basically he has no fear of the street fight. So everything that leads up to the street fight never slows him down. You know what I mean? Because he will physically fight strangers in the street.
True story, though. He never skips a step. He never skips a beat in that whole thing. The funniest story is in Chichester when he's driving the van and he's going down like the wrong way on the street. And everybody is so nice. And he's got his window down and the little old woman in her car like a foot below because when the van goes, excuse me, sir, you can't go this way. He goes, shut up. And keeps going. And she's got this look like, what happened? I was just trying. He's like, shut up.
That is literally an ugly American.
We cried. Yeah. We literally cried. We were laughing so hard. Because that poor little woman. She was so nice. Everyone was nice. All right.
We got one more.
Yeah,
hold on. Hold on. Give me one more email question.
Sure. This is Curtis from Portland. He writes, hey, guys. Curious how or if Adam and Matt wash their own cars. What's their technique? I'm assuming Adam doesn't get all crazy items and just keeps it simple.
No, I'm the dude who I have farmed out that I have a list of stuff that's not worth my while that I just farm out, have other people do. And then I have a list of stuff that is worth my while, and then I have a weird list of stuff that's not worth my while, but I do it anyway because I'm wired that way. Like, I don't mind throwing money at people washing cars.
So washing the cars out, but, like, hanging a shelf.
Hanging a shelf, I will do myself. And I also have weird rules. Like, we just got off a boat, and we were there for 3 or 4 days. And guess who never ordered room service once, even though I was in the king suite?
Yeah.
I don't order room service because that's not for me.
Okay.
You probably had cruise bucks that didn't get used, and now I'm bummed.
Right. I will not order room service because I'm not a room service dude.
Okay.
They can fly me, Match Game can fly me to New York to stay at a nice hotel for a night, and I won't order room service, even if I don't eat dinner and get there that night, because I don't do room service. Mm. I won't give them Alec Baldwin's money. I don't have people bring me food. Like, I've done it on weird, rare, very rare occasion where the schedule is just such a way that there's no other possible way you're going to have eggs unless you do it.
But you see, that's a necessity, not a luxury. You don't care to have, you want to sit in a booth and get a steak. What if they brought the booth to the room?
Ooh. And I also do. I do want to go to the booth and eat the room. Eat the steak. Sorry. I don't want to sit in the room and sort of eat alone. But also I'm not, my wife just, I'll come into the room. There's like room service everywhere. And I'll go like, what's going on? We're hungry. It's like, oh, go down to the cafeteria then. Go eat eat in the lobby. And they're like, we want to eat here. And it's like everyone finished half their pancakes and half their whatever. And, you know, there's $12 worth of orange juice that someone took two hits
well,
off.
I like the walk. Yeah. I like the walk and I like to see what's going on. So, like, going to get a bite is like a reason to check something out. Like, just go walk.
I will say this. So I'll just tell Rob, you know, hey, Rob, rinse off the car, wipe the car down or whatever it is, or gas it up. I don't gas up the car very rarely, that kind of stuff. It's try to think of things. I literally, when I go for a walk, when my fingernails need to be cut and I'm going for a walk, I take my fingernail clippers with me and I'm going to walk the dog, talk to Matt about business on the phone and clip my fingernails because it feels to me like a waste of time to just sit on the toilet and cut my fingernails.
Yeah, it sounds like you're not really paying for the service. You're paying for the time that you gain from not doing it yourself.
Time is everything.
Right. All right.
Time is everything.
That being said, go wash my car, Matt.
Yeah. I do occasionally wash the car. And when I take the car to the wash, which I don't do that often, I have them do the hand wash. I'm not a big fan of the machine with the big flappy thing spinning around in the circle, and I just like to do the hand wash.
Yeah, but better detail.
Yeah.
I watched a movie.
I don't want to scratch and
I watched
stuff.
A movie, Car Wash, the other day.
Yeah.
Took place in L.A., all black cast. When's the last time you see a car wash in Los Angeles with a black dude, much less 13 black dudes working at a car wash? You would never see that in L.A.
I know.
Ever again,
that's
right? I've never seen one black guy work at it. This was an all-black cast. It was called Car Wash. And it wasn't like Soul Train or something or Soul Plane where it's like we do an all-black airplane and you go, oh, that's odd or that's different. Nobody said anything. It was like, yeah, black guys work at the car wash.
They're playing that off.
That's how it was.
Who wrote
if they
the
did
movie?
Do the all-Mexican car wash, that wouldn't even fly, right?
But what I'm saying is in 1977, when they made the movie Car Wash, and they did the all-black cast of the movie Car Wash in downtown L.A., it wasn't like, oh, we're doing a black version of this. Yeah. It was like, this is who you would find working at a car wash.
Yeah. Like the downtown, barbershop movies or something.
In downtown L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, oh, it was a barbershop. Yeah. It was like... Except for if every barbershop was black, and that's how it was back then. All right, go ahead.
All right, so Geico, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to pick up or drop off anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. You should go to geico.com.
All right, Geico. Phoenix Stand-Up Live coming up October 27th, basic cable commentary. Me and the unflappable Mike August up on stage.
Wow.
Anaheim Grove, November 30th, live podcast with Rob Riggle as well. And go to Chassis and Pluto TV and see what we got to offer you. Adam Carolla Goes Racing, Motor Trend. Lots of good stuff there with Matt featured as well. Matt, what do you got?
You can check us out on our social media. You can follow me at Moderator. I keep posting images, and you'll see a picture of that Lightsinger car.
Yeah, I like it when you people tweet us pictures, and we'll answer it and all that kind of stuff. So, until next time, Zanna Corolla for Matt, the Moderator DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wind.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.